Okay, girly nation, if you don't shop at Target, clearly there's something wrong. You only get a pass if you live outside of North America, though. So who doesn't shop online? You can shop online in a t-shirt, no bra, and a cold glass of beer. But this week, it's all about mom. Think of all the gifts that would make her happy. Like, what mom doesn't like jewelry, clothing, electronics? Come on, Target. What mother wants electronics on Mother's Day? Girly Nation, just know it wasn't me. But you can link to this week's deals from my website on ninababel.com/podcast. You're going to look for episode number 17 that will give you this week's store discounts. What's up, Girly Nation? Welcome back to another edition of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, coming to you live and direct from the nation's capital here in Washington, D.C. I'm your hostess with the Keep It 100 Girl Mostess. It's me, Nina. And as always, I keep it 100. I keep it real and I keep it true. But this is where women tell the truth. You know, they come forward and they don't tell anything but the truth, even if it's totally embarrassing or super cray cray. You know, we cover things starting from puberty all the way down to the M train. And I talk to you like I talk to my own girlfriends, like how you talk to your own girlfriends. And if you don't have any girlfriends and you only talk to guys, well then, hey, that works too. You know, some of you may freak out about some of our funny and emotional roller coaster moments, because I'll admit, we all live on the edge with all our stories. But there's life lessons in all of them. Even though they're cray cray, they're surprising, they're edgy, and most of you will probably say, it's taboo, Nina. Well, one rule of my podcast is we overshare. Connect with me on social media. I love Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. They're all my faves. So you could follow me using the handle at Nina Babel. Or you know what? Just head over to my website. In fact, it's my new website at ninababel.com and subscribe to make sure you're in the know with all of my latest and greatest. But Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Ready to keep it 100, girl.
Oh, Nina, I keep it 100, baby.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? In last week's episode, I went a little lighter than usual. But you got to mix it up, right? Some controversial taboo topics with some feel-goodish type stuff. To recap, last week's episode, I featured a mother-daughter duo who have an open communication style, which started from early o'clock. Sarah's mom, whose name is Laura, decided in her mind at a very early age. In fact, she dated it back to high school, where she said to herself, if I only have a daughter, things would be different. You know, she would break the cycle, and as she put it, put to bed that uncomfortableness that she had with her mom. If you're a mother or mother-to-be who struggles to have the awkward conversations, then you need to check it out because it's a good mother-daughter tutorial. In today's episode, myself and Girly Nation, we're going to be ringing the alarm on this whole like lemonade tip fascination that the whole world is revolving around. Girly Nation sips and opens up about their personal real-life lemonade episodes in their life. We go back to the future. We're in this time capsule called Truth. And just like how Beyoncé, she featured all these cameos of influential women in her video, well, I got Girly Nation, who's representing in an unapologetic fashion. Today, you're going to hear from women who had some type of lemonade in their life. So I talked to both single, married, and divorced women to discuss the first time, forgiveness, acceptance, and even embarrassment. See, lemonades aren't always about cheating, but when it does, okay, this is how we do as women. Our first animal instinct is that we go after the woman instead of the man. The Yolandas, the Sophias, the Isabellas, the Anyas, and then we have the Beckys. Well, you know, we as women have a knack for attack. It's so natural. I think it's built into our DNA. So when we're summoned to the call, we are the shade experts. And I know you all are guilty of this, but, you know, we like to call like the side chick or the other woman or his new boo ugly. And then we wonder what he even saw in her because she's uglier than us. And then we talk about the good hair, the bad hair. Is she fat? She's skinny. She's a moo-moo. She has a moo-moo face. At the end of the day, Beyonce is the baddest chick in the game. And homeboy, Jay-Z, he's still big pimpin'.
It's big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheap.
While Stella was in college, this football player was proud and flippant about his cheating behavior towards her.
I was dating a football player. Instead of just dating a football player, I was in a relationship with a football player.
Right.
Which, you know, football players, you don't shouldn't have relationships with.
Right.
His roommate was seeing my best friend at the time, and I knew that he was sleeping with another girl I knew. So I tried to give her clues, and she just was blah. So I finally told her. And so her and the girl come in this cahoot thing where they're trying to set him up, and they want me to help them set him up. And I told my boyfriend about it, and he go tell him. I forgot there's a man code. Well, I didn't know there was one.
Right, right.
So he purposely didn't come home because they were waiting for him. So long story short, they're both mad at him. They eventually catch up to him, and they had a confrontation in the snow. I heard they were all fighting him in the snow. But anyway, I'm thinking I saw something. 3 weeks later, I see her back at the house. And she's not talking to me. And so one day, I was coming out to my boyfriend's room, and he was going to the bathroom, and he laughed at me. He said, "You're a girl, and you don't even know how y'all are. That is too funny." He said, "Go ahead and tell my business all you want. You just make it easier for me." Yep, he was back dating both of them.
Because if this whole, like, lemonade shit happens to you more than once in your life, it's bound to drive you crazy. Remember Waiting to Exhale, Jungle Fever, Indecent Proposal, and Fatal Attraction? I say this because they pop in my head as pioneer female revenge movies women claimed as their anthem. And I don't think you have to be cheated on to relate to the scene in Waiting to Exhale when Angela Bassett is in a rage, she's in pain, and it's obvious the scars of her husband cheating leads her to just grab all his belongings, and she burns them in the driveway in her husband's car. Now, in case you missed it, you weren't born, you just didn't know about it, I want you to just listen.
This motherfucker is psychotic. I bet you there's serial killers less anal.
Yeah, white woman's probably the only one who'll tolerate your smug ass. Yeah, I was your white woman for 11 years. Couldn't have started that damn company without me. Hell, I worked my ass off.
I mean, I got a master's degree in business, and there I was, his secretary, his office manager, and his computer.
No, Bernadine, you can't start the catering business this year. Why don't you wait a few years, huh? Yeah, don't start it right now. Wait 1, 2, 3 years. I need you to be the fucking background to my foreground.
The number of times we made love. I remember when that bastard told me he was counting. Right after 51, I'll show you. Fuck me for not leaving your ass then.
But the worst, all the fucking worst, making my kids go to a school with only two other black children because you don't want them to be improperly influenced. Well, guess what, John? You're the motherfucking improper influence. Get your shit, and get out.
Beyonce touches a rites of passage that, you know what, your mother may or may not have warned you about when you were younger, or even now. We all are reminded that every woman goes through her set of lemonade, and it all is varying degrees. Sometimes you just don't get to pick your poison either. The first time, you gotta go through it to understand it, because it builds your character and it adds a layer to that cake. It adds another coating to that Teflon armor that doesn't bend anymore. Ariel is in her 30s. She's married and a mother of one. And she says it's not that simple, right? You can't just move on and be like, bye, Felicia, to a cheating situation.
It sounds so simple, but
it's not.
Yes,
yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. I haven't been.
I think after the first time, it doesn't affect you as bad.
Yeah. Right.
You don't hurt as bad.
I think I got to the point after the first time that I was kind of like, I don't know if I could ever let somebody even affect me that much. To
right.
Feel
there you
I
go.
Ever again.
Yeah. I mean, right. I was.
It's kind of like, I love them, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, but do you hurt?
After,
like, I'm hurt? And I don't know if I'm going to be hurt behind that. I would have to probably just be like, oh, well. You're going to be sad. You might miss them a little bit, but
exactly.
I don't think I would be, like, hurt. Like, I was hurt the very first time.
There you go. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Just like, I think that's probably the same for me, too.
It's so like you got to go through it to know I'm not going to let myself
right.
be affected.
And it's not conscious. Like, I didn't go into this like, okay, I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to let you get too deep. It's just kind of like,
process,
so much stuff doesn't faze me.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like he could ever really hurt me.
Emotions. You learn how to block them. You never allow someone to have that total control over you again. I mean, forget age. We mature with damage.
Yeah, actually, we just broke up. We broke up for 6 months. And at first, everybody's like, are you okay? Are you sad? And I'm like, fine.
Man,
I'm trying to go out. That's the most I went out the whole time we were together when we was broken up. And I was just like, I'm fine. Everybody's like, we really like to. Yeah, I like them too.
Yeah,
what y'all doing today?
Yeah.
I just can't. Even we're back together now, and I still love him to death, but I just can't. I don't feel like he can hurt me the way that the first person hurt me.
Because you blocked that.
Yeah,
it's like you don't ever allow yourself to go that deep.
Yeah, for someone to have that much control.
Yeah.
Over
outside.
Your emotions.
So we're talking about relationships, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First off, did anyone ever explain to you, as a woman, the difference between being jealous and crazy and what that means? Because this stuff, it happens generation after generation, which begs the question, what's worse, being jealous or crazy?
In addition to my own experiences, real women give mother freaking real life advice. They will express their personal bloopers when it comes to sensitive girly stuff.
Professor Munoz is in her 30s. She's married and has a strong opinion when it comes to labeling women crazy.
For me, I think of the two evils, it is far worse, in my opinion, to be considered a crazy woman versus a jealous woman. For me, a jealous woman is someone who's considered to be envious, even perhaps protective of her feelings or her love or whatever she's passionate about. Something that I think from a societal perspective, it's something that we understand what jealousy is. It's not acceptable by any means, but I think that because we get it, we understand what it is, sometimes we can even protect it or make excuses for someone who's jealous because it's something of passion, right? We've all been in a situation where we wanna protect or express how we feel about something or someone, and some people just kinda go a little bit over the top with it, and it can lead towards, you know, these feelings of jealousy.
The crazy bitch theory. We spent the whole past week, and even it's still continuing, watching Beyonce and Jay-Z just go under attack from both men and women.
On the other hand, however, when we talk about crazy, that's on a whole totally different level, in my opinion. When we talk about crazy, you're going into matters of something that from a societal perspective is just completely unacceptable. It is something that's considered to be strange, deranged, mentally deranged, that is, a person who is aggressive, out of control. When you think about the terminology, you hear men in particular talk about women, and the moment that they start to use this particular phrase to describe a woman that they're frustrated with, and they call her a crazy bitch, to me, I have a really big problem with that, because no matter what happens after a person utters those words to describe that woman that they are annoyed with or frustrated with, it's almost like it changes the way that you see her. forever. And there's nothing that you can do to change that.
Crazy, jealous, jealous and crazy, crazy and jealous. Is that how we label our mothers, grandmothers, Beyonce, Hillary Clinton, Coretta Scott King, Eva Longoria, Jackie Kennedy, Sandra Bullock, Kourtney Kardashian, Karrueche, and now Becky's been added to the mix? Women turn their cheek, they walk away, they accept it, they leave, or they go back. Do we call them crazy?
So I think that when we utter the words, "That's a crazy bitch," you need to be very careful before you say those things about a person, because it's almost like the mind has a way of now describing her or labeling her or viewing her as someone who needs psychological or perhaps psychiatric treatment, just something that someone who is beyond the average person's ability to console or control or to fix. It's dangerous. I would never want to be considered a crazy bitch or a crazy woman. And I think that it's far, 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 far worse and more damaging than we realize to be considered a crazy woman versus a jealous woman.
Being thick-skinned is a very familiar characteristic that is passed down from our mothers. Our mothers don't realize how much they teach us to be thick-skinned. In so many ways, they don't realize it. Ariel continues to reflect on the phases of heartbreak that she has witnessed over time with her mother.
When it comes to men, I seen my mom go through so much growing up that I developed really thick skin. Yeah, because my mom's first marriage to my dad, and, you know, he hurt her real bad. You know, she never really, but the thing about my mom, she never said anything bad about him. It was what I saw. It wasn't like, you know, she would talk bad about him or put him down. So, but I knew it hurt her. Then she got married the second time, and that was cool, but I didn't really like that guy. And so I seen my mom go through these phases of heartbreak, so I took notes, and I was just like, I'm never going to let a man take me under that much.
Yeah.
You know? So I guarded myself just based off of all the situations that my mom went through.
Learning to put your guard up early is just part of our DNA as women. It's a protection mechanism. All it takes is just once for it to ignite and release the reaction. Watching our mothers lose part of their spirit is a muscle memory you can't suppress.
I saw my mother go through when her and my father got divorced or whatever, the heartbreak she went through. That kind of like, I don't ever want to go through that. So I think at a young age, I learned how to...
Yeah, you put your guard up early.
Yeah, you put your guard up early. It's like, ooh, I don't ever want to go through that. Hearing her cry at night, and it was bad. So, yeah, I think that's probably why I feel like I've never really, really been heartbroken.
Furthermore, there are some countries, whether you like it or not, where infidelity is an accepted practice, which makes us more alike than any other thing that makes us different. And this is where I'm conflicted, because long time ago, you know, I accepted infidelity and prepared for it as the inevitable. And this has to do a lot with my culture. Being from the Caribbean, this cloud follows every Caribbean woman and now even men. I don't care what women tell you, it's true. Speaking of my Caribbean heritage, I have these family documents that date back to the 1800s. And there's one piece of paper that always strikes a chord with me. This just drives home my point of how all this lemonade stuff existed way before our time, girlies. And this evidence in front of me goes back 88 years in my family. Here we are. 9th day of June, 1928. And this is the last will and testament of a relative, it looks like, of my grandmother's. And he lists all the land in his possession, including the acreage and the name of the estate. Now, under the bequeathed area of this will, he addresses to my illegitimate children. So I'm just going to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He lists out the acres of land, what's on it, apparently a house, and he's giving that to his illegitimate children. And from the looks of it, he also mentions a legitimate son called Marcellus, and he gives him a larger set of acreage of land. And it turns out he has more legitimate children. I'm assuming he's been married twice. So he had 7 additional children. Homeboy has a total of at least 16 kids. So you know there's got to be some lemonade with all these illegitimate ones. But I will give credit where credit's due. In this will, he gave every one of his children his last name. So at least he knew it was his. Besides our periods, childbirth, and menopause, this is an ugly, deep reality that bonds us as women, believe it or not. At the end of the day, men are men, right? If there's any one thing our mothers did teach us, is that. You can't convince me otherwise. Each of you will have that trigger point of some kind in your life where your prized possessions called innocence is gone, taken, stolen, resulting in hurt, rage, revenge, jealousy, illness, divorce, and unfortunately, violence. All these things change a woman. We can't see it or believe it until it happens. Nothing hurts us more than being disappointed by a single person you thought that would never hurt you. Stella's in her 40s, divorced and a single mother. She unveils the humiliation she felt and in some respects had to save face in front of her husband. How do you save face? I mean, there comes a point in time when you can't block the emotions anymore. You're gonna self-destruct.
Let me tell you, the first real heartbreak was the breakup with Shane. And it wasn't so much that we were divorcing, it was the hate, and I use that word loosely, hate that came over Shane and he expressed to me. It was very obvious that we were both not in it. Mm-hmm. And you saw behaviors in him, and there were other friends of mine that saw behavior in him that was not very becoming of a married man. Of course, he would deny it. He was the king of denying. And so he would get too happy when the banana bread would come across the street. So I was just like, yeah, here we go. So when we, when I finally said, actually, I was at church that evening, and I came, it was a Sunday, and I came home, and I finally got the nerve to say, I think this marriage should be over. I guess he was like, I ain't got to fake it no more. Turned into the devil. There was one point where Shane literally within a week had a girlfriend. Yeah, they're married now. All of a sudden he had this girlfriend in Florida that came out of nowhere.
Right.
And I'll never forget that I had told him it was back in October that we were separated. And then we had to sell the house. So that took a little time. So his birthday was, you know, January. And I still feel obligated as his wife and someone I still care about. I didn't hate him. I still cared about him. I wanted to throw, you know, do something for his birthday. Mm-hmm. I said, so what would you like to do for your birthday? And he said, looked me in the eyes and said, oh, well, she wants me to spend it with her.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. How do you handle this?
Yeah, how do you save face with that?
I was like, okay, so I had to watch him go to the airport to go to Florida to be with his missus. And then when he came back, I remember I was looking for the brush to brush my hair, and he said, oh, I think I left it in the hotel room in Florida. I think I died 1,000 times. I don't know why that stands out, but the fact that my husband left to go to another woman, and then he's at a hotel with her where so you do have the compassion to be lovable, but you're just choosing not to love me. No. Okay.
Some of us don't know what it's like to experience sour-tasting lemonade. I'm talking about the lying, the betrayal, the cheating, and just the whole conflicts that go along with relationships. Stella does.
And he would just be on the phone with her in front of me. He would be totally disrespectful. If I'd come and say, can I talk to you right now? He'd be like, I'm on the phone with her right now. I'll talk to you when I'm done.
Oh, wow.
That, it made me feel so worthless.
Right.
I was heartbroken.
Stella tells me how she was able to turn her pain into a spiritual connection with her ex-husband. And in that instance, they both were able to let go and forgive.
Shane and I didn't talk for 2 years. And actually, when I would call him, and I would still try to be his friend. I'd be like, can we be friends? And he's like, what do you want to be friends for? How we got through that is, I couldn't date either. I wasn't doing anything. And a guy at church gave me a video. And I remember I refused to watch it for months, called I'm Bitter. And it was a sermon. And I remember one day I came home and Comcast for some reason wasn't working, so I had nothing to do. So I finally watched the sermon, and it just talked about you need to forgive the person, and then you need to call them and let them know you forgive them.
Okay.
I remember, like, you must have lost your mind. I ain't calling this boy to forgive him.
Yeah.
So I cried my ass off forgiving myself. And then I called him and I left him a message. He didn't pick up the phone. And I said, whatever you felt I didn't do that you needed, I apologize. I said, I didn't know any better. I was young and I knew nothing about marriage. I was trying my best. Girl, you could make me cry. He didn't call me for a week, and then one week I would go to a nail salon and he called and we talked. It's the first time we talked as friends, and we've been friends ever since.
Own it. Don't apologize either. These are all the situationships and emotions us women endure. But you know what? This is what makes us 10 times stronger. Reincarnate yourself. Trust and believe this will change you into a woman that you have never met before. So here's my problem. I'll hold on to a grudge for a good reason. And then there's others that are worth letting go. But when I see the grudge and he's staring back at me in the face every day, and then when he smiles and leans towards me and gives me a kiss, I'm like, no, can't do. I can't do it. I can't find that place of forgiveness. I mean, that's my own personal struggle.
Nina's purpose is to empower women to celebrate women's embarrassing moments. If you're too shy, nervous, or embarrassed to ask about sensitive girly stuff, you're in the right place.
My embarrassing story is this, though. I was dating somebody to the point where, you know, you're past that whole honeymoon phase in the relationship. And I almost feel like this whole interaction was a blessing and a curse, which hasn't left me to this day. It's that whole muscle memory that I was telling you about earlier. I stopped by my man's house unannounced. Ever do that? Personally, I don't advise it unless you're looking for an answer you don't want to find out. But my visit was totally out of innocence. I went there really to surprise him. And you know what? Now that I think about it, you know, if we're talking like universe language, I honestly feel it was my spirit guide leading me to a greener pasture, one that I've never seen or walked before. In the visual album by Beyoncé, she refers to her father's infidelities as a curse. I feel a little differently. For my situation, I call innocence a curse. It's a curse of innocence that we as women, we are born with. We naturally come into a relationship or bring to a relationship that innocence, that naivety, that pureness, until that curse is broken. It's a great example of when you believed everything was beautiful and the only enemy was time. So back to the story, he opened the door. I knew in that split second his answer. No hug, no kiss, not even a smile. Odd. Very, very odd. I found the truth really quickly underneath his lying self. Again, not only our animal instinct, but it's your gut. His eyes were still. They were so still that it resembled a soldier manning his post. No movement, no blink, as I watched his lips in slow motion ask me what I was doing here. It was different than before. It was totally different. I sensed that, and you will know. A man's voice normally has bass and range when they speak. His tone and octave was laced with guilt, avoidance, and it was still like the darkness of the night. The guilt in his face, this was the humiliating part. My heart began to beat fast. He stole all my pride, and I was very, very insulted. You know that heavy feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when your heart is broken, almost like all those butterflies that were fluttering died. My mind now asks me, in the midst of all of this, are you crazy or are you jealous? Initially, I was crazy for him. I mean, it all started with that freakum dress. Come on, everybody has a freakum dress. You know when you tell your girlfriend, I think, girl, he's the one, I like him so much, and, you know, he's gonna meet my family. Huh, then you're drunk in love. Then it was time to... I was so angry. You could peel the thick layers one by one of my anger from head to toe. And it made me weaker the longer I stood there in front of him. The jealous part of me was like, who is she? Who the fuck is she? I mean, I didn't have to see her. I smelled her scent. How dare you? I've given myself to you. I've invested my time. And I opened my emotions to you. And in return, this is how you reward me? Thank me? Show your fucking appreciation? He never let me in the door. You know why, right? Figure it out. But they all do. They all come back. He came back. I was like, boy, bye. It was now my chance to close the door. Acceptance. Feelings and emotions, look at them like visitors. You let them come and go, and some overstay their welcome. Sometimes you have to forget what you feel and remember, you know what? You gotta remember what you deserve in life. Both Reese and Stella have accepted their decisions, and they're ready to move on.
Oh my gosh, that is mean.
That's the hardest breakup. The hardest breakup is because you can never get over it because a part of them walks your hallways every day.
Yeah.
You can never forget. You can not name her his last name. You can do whatever you want. She's still part of him.
Yeah, that's more than bad-minded. He's just evil.
Yeah, that's a word a lot of people... Actually, that's a word my therapist uses. You need therapy after something like that. You need therapy. Like, you can't even just turn to God. You need somebody to talk back to you.
Yeah, you do, because... What you just described, I can't imagine someone treating me that way and just coming out of it normal.
And I save every email because I don't read them, but I think sometimes it's just to know that I'm not crazy. You know how you lie to yourself sometimes and go, maybe that really didn't happen that way?
Yeah.
No, I have the words. You write them an email. And if she gets to a point or a stage in her life when she's old enough and she wants to understand why, I can just sit back and go, I'm going to just leave you right here.
Yeah.
See how we respond to each other, and you take from it what you can. But, yeah, and I haven't spoken to him since. I don't pursue him. He don't pursue me. I know a couple of friends have seen him because he's an alpha. One of my girlfriends even cursed him out, Lord have it. But we're not in the same circle, so I've never seen him. Sure, I will one day. DC is not that big. That's the hardest breakup. The hardest breakup is when you can't end the breakup. Ever.
Right.
So death do us part.
Reese is in her 30s, mother of three, divorced, and now engaged to be married. And she's decided she's no longer going to be a fixer.
I think turning 30 was kind of a watershed moment for me as well. And I'm like, I've spent my 20s trying to please the men in my life, you know, trying to be good enough and strong enough and smart enough and kind enough and loving enough to fix whatever the hell is wrong with them. And it's not working. And, you know, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life doing this. Like, I have too many dreams and too much to offer the world.
Beyoncé's torture and pain became my remedy, your remedy, her remedy, our remedy, Girly Nation's remedy. I mean, come on, we all own it. When love is real, it doesn't lie, doesn't cheat, pretend, hurt, or make you feel unwanted. It's supposed to make you feel magical. The biggest aha moment for me during this episode is this stuff will drive you crazy, us crazy more than anything, but don't call me a crazy bitch. The jealous thing? You'll learn over time. That's just wasted energy. I'm not even going there. But all of us are born into the world innocent. Then over time, you know, life toughens us up. And then we're more in control. We learn to adapt so that we are more in control, or we think we're more in control. And we learn to break the cycle by turning our emotions off. And not putting ourselves in a position that our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers found themselves in. When life gives you these lemons, you know you have Girly Nation to rely on. In case your mother didn't tell you, but your girlfriend Nina did, it's up to you to make the sweetest tasting lemonade, Girly Nation. You deserve it. Don't allow anyone to squeeze the life out of you. And there you have it. That wraps up another edition of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, where everybody reveals a chapter about themselves. Myself and Girly Nation reveal our tell-all experiences, aha moments, advice, and lastly, we drop mother-friggin' girlfriend knowledge. I'm here to empower your ass and give you that weekly dose of self-confidence that puts a pep in your step every week, month, and year. Hope you enjoyed it. Please tweet, email, text me, anything you want that you listen to the episode by tagging me on Twitter or Instagram at Nina Babel. And in fact, if you're on Snapchat, send me a snap. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girls Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher. Don't forget to share the show with your girlies. And if you have a question or a personal story, send your email to ask@ninababel.com. But I want you to give me some love, Girly Nation. Show me that big girl hug by leaving a rating and review in iTunes. After all, I'm still the new chick on the iTunes block. And when you rate and review my podcast, you know what you're doing? You're helping my position in each iTunes category. You could also check out my videos on YouTube by typing in the search field Nina Babel. In next week's episode, girlies, we're going down that girlfriend etiquette path, otherwise known as girl code. Learn what signals, signs, and rules that you as a woman are meant to either enforce or not break as a woman. Thanks, girl. Smooches.